Hello and welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro. This is episode number 94, and the title is another one of our PT or physical therapy basics shows about functional training. This is the show where anyone who wants to achieve peak performance, yes, crush athletic and sports goals, fitness and health, but also to just get more out of life and improve your happiness, your satisfaction, and hopefully your longevity, this show's for you. So thanks for being with me here today. Now, the word functional is a word that gets tossed about quite a bit these days, especially when we look at exercise and training. Today, I'm going to define functional training in a few ways. And I'm also going to suggest that we can simplify our understanding of the term and move beyond the debate. Technically, on one level, all training is functional. Practically all movement has the potential to be good for us. Any action that nourishes our bodies with life-giving circulation and that improves durability or versatility can become functional. If it improves the body, or excuse me, if it improves the way our body operates or functions, and this can be in terms of output and performance, but also digestion, attitude, and other key functions, then again, any movement or training can be considered functional. In basic physics, anything that our body produces as a movement is sort of a function. So lifting your hand and picking your nose is functional. Well, thanks for bearing with me. But to be more specific, to the typical conversation around functional training and exercises and movement, we want to frame it around this concept, return on investment, or the bang for your workout buck. Exploring that possibility involves asking more specific questions. So if we're going to first consider training in regard to basic functional movement patterns, the question here is, does this training help to enhance or preserve the capabilities that are necessary for everyday life? To dive into this topic, I think it's important to start with some basic movement patterns that relate to all of life, and also to give credit to some pioneers. One of the best ways to dive deeper into this subject of basic functional movement patterns in the human is to use physical therapist Gray Cook's functional movement screen, which I highly recommend for any clinician who wants to get more information as well as a system for assessing and treating movement dysfunction. The basic movement patterns we use are squat, lunge, push, pull, hinge, twist, and walk. And now I'm adding an accessory one, which is lifting the coffee cup and having a sip. Bear with me, please. Combine those basic movement patterns, sans the coffee maneuver, with developmental sequence positions, which we use as we are growing infants, such as supine, laying on the back, side lying, prone, which is face down, quadruped, kneeling, standing. And then there are associated movements like rolling, crouching, and crawling. The functional human can then use all those basic movement patterns and positions to lift, carry, reach, stoop, and basically navigate and manage the movement demands of the body in any given day. While these movements are programmed into our human beast, modern life with all of its sedentary opportunities can cause some of these functions to start to fade away. And this is not desirable to any extent, in any means. Existing without your basic movement capacities is the definition of debilitation and is in most cases largely preventable, and it's also treatable as in rehabilitation. So in summing up basic functional movement patterns, we want to be sure that our training allows for the preservation of all those basic needs. You can certainly perform a singular activity like cycling, for example, if you love it. But at least occasionally make sure that you're checking and shoring up all of your abilities like I just went over. I can't say how many times I've worked with a relatively healthy, somewhat fit individual who did just one activity somewhat monotonously in his or her training, and then ultimately ended up suffering a string of injuries, poor performances, and a loss of basic abilities, even like being able to get up off the floor without a Herculean effort. Use it or lose it rings true here. It's really important for all of us that we stay a mobile, agile human beast. Now, let's progress our thinking with respect, and talking about functional movement and training, with respect to athletic motions and skills. This involves the topic known as transfer of training, or the question, does this kind of training transfer to the requirements of athletics or fitness? Is it sports specific? Another coffee break here. So now we address higher level functions like running, sprinting, cutting, jumping, throwing, catching, dancing, swimming, and moving with grace and power through any athletic paradigm. Does the training, the workout, and the exercise contribute to or carry over into that performance? Does it develop the appropriate levels of stability and mobility, the neurological integration of the pattern, and the speed required? These are all questions which are important to ask if we want to make sure that training is optimally functional. So if that previous concept of basic movement related to health and longevity, then this transferability of training links up nicely with peak performance. We want to make sure that the training we're doing is highly functional to transfer into what we're trying to get out of the body. And the reason is the body only learns and improves a specific motor pattern when either parts or the whole of an action is practiced. I've talked on the show quite often how I've engaged with a lot of people who state, I don't do that kind of training. They're referring to athletic movement anymore. And I'm not being snarky here. Unfortunately, I have to respond, I know. I can tell by how you move. I can see it right away. And again, not being a jerk, just being, you know, honest as an evaluating clinician. And what I have to inform these folks of is that you've lost the ability to own your shape, your position, and your motion. And I'm not the guy inventing these things. Norman Vincent Peale once said, you don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing. And if I take that further, when it comes to athletic skill, it's not that you don't because you can't. It's most often you can't because you don't. The lifetime athlete should always be looking to keep some or most of his or her training in the bucket of high transferability. Make your workouts work for you and what you want to do and need to do. A good coach can be invaluable in this arena. Now, I think that's enough philosophical construct. Let's look at a couple quick examples and suggestions. Let's take the leg extension exercise, for example. It's often used in this discussion. Unless you're working on the ability to kick a ball, the leg extension may not be the most functional of exercises. You know, again, for anyone who's not aware, that's where you sit in a chair-like device and there's a roller or pad on your ankles and you extend your legs out. Sure, it isolates quadricep muscles and it works on the ability to straighten the knee, but it is generally considered not to be as functional as, say, a squat or a lunge or a step up, because these exercises build and support the body's ability to efficiently move in those basic and necessary patterns. So while there's nothing wrong with having some isolation or accessory exercises in your training program, again, there's a place for everything, they really should be in a minority, not the majority, in terms of their presence. Those basic movement patterns can be specifically addressed in any routine. It happens almost serendipitously, largely because a well-designed program has you getting in and out of different positions, such as down onto a mat and back up and moving and setting up equipment and taking things off shelves, then performing some hinging, squatting, pushing, pulling, rotating, and lunging movements in a good, well-designed exercise program. To get higher transfer with training, think of training movement patterns more than just muscle. So instead of saying I'm going to work my biceps, say I'm going to work my ability, you know, of my arms to lift an object in a more functional pattern. Just one example. And utilize whole body compound exercises. So that would be things like squats and presses and pull-ups and things which use lots of muscles in the body to, again, perform a movement that is applied often in life. Then adapt that movement to best duplicate the position and action of your athletic application. So now we're saying, okay, as much as possible, let's try to modify or adjust a movement to make it, you know, A, fit the uniqueness of one's body, but also how are you applying force in your sport? Or one component movement of the sport. And then as much as we can do this, try to duplicate, at least in some of the training, the speed of that movement. So training everything at slow speed is perhaps non-functional, or let's just say less functional than having some of the movements, again, trying to duplicate actual speed of sport movement. And that's sometimes tough to do, but it's worth working towards in the gym. So training should always be fun and effective. Getting it to match up with your body's needs and goals is really how that happens. And keeping it as functional as possible is the key. We should probably stop debating the use or definition of the word functional and just always seek to make training optimal. Thanks so much for being with me today. I really appreciate you guys, and I hope that you're getting a lot out of the show. If you're a regular listener or even a first timer, I've got two specific asks for you. First, if you have not yet gone over to iTunes or wherever you listen to the show and left a quick rating and review, I'd really be grateful if you could take those 2 minutes to do so. I know this can seem like a hassle, but if the messages here are inspiring you toward your own athletic and health gains, those reviews really get the show exposed so that others can more easily access this information and also start crushing it. And second, would you share this show with just one person who you care about and who you know would really like to kick ass at, in, and for life? Hey, thanks so much. Until next time, this is Coach Jay-Z signing off from The Lifetime Athlete, where you can achieve peak performance at any age.